Was that good or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody can say amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, there's something about the Spanish. They got a beautiful language. And it's just a beautiful language. It's very special. It touches my heart because it's in another tongue. But it's in a tongue that's in my heart. And so, his love is, you know, Paul had this problem because he was in the Jewish area, in the Jewish region, and that's where God had destined that he set up his kingdom rule on earth at that time, and then to reach out to the heathens, to reach out to those that were uncircumcised. It was appalling. It was offensive. It was terrible. And here he was, a Sadducee of Sadducee, a Hebrew of Hebrews. So. Pertaining to the law, he was blameless. That's what he said. And then the very thing that was the opposition to this new church was the old order of things. And that's to be expected. That's to be, you know, that's reasonably to be expected. But there was such a love that began to be unveiled and unfolded in the epistles of action, of what do I do? How do I love? You ever wonder how you love? You know, when you get married and you have a wife, you ever worked at loving better? Let me tell you, it's a constant job. Not a grievous one, but so that we might become one. In thought, in action, and in purpose. And in, hallelujah, if you bring up my slide, please. I'm working on grace, and if you'll be patient, I think that we're going to learn together some things that are quite astounding. That in no ways near can I come to a full explanation of this word, for it hasn't yet been written or even heard. But a door has been opened, and knowledge has been given. And then as we begin to believe it enough to do it, now it becomes an experience. Or, and I used to, you know, men have so maligned words with prejudice, personal prejudice. And one of them is dispensation. We're not dispensationalists. Paul said that this dispensation of grace was given unto me. In the book of Ephesians. If you haven't read it, you need to read all the chapters over and 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 over. Hallelujah. Because it's so good, it's so rich, it's so pure. It is the answer. It is the revelation that was hid before the foundations of the earth. It is the revelation that the prophets desired to look upon and couldn't see them. And the reason they couldn't see them is not because they were not intelligent enough. But it's that their intelligence hadn't been quickened by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And so we're looking at the word grace and hallelujah. And honey, just go down the slides real quick and I'm just going to... And this is the definition for grace. And we see that it's, you can read it. It's I'll just go down to the words that the English words that will probably that you would see in some cases that would be exactly the same Greek word. It's acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, grace. Listen to this: joy, liberality, pleasure, thankfulness, thankworthiness. In your reading of the King James, in that, all these different words would bring forth the same word, the same Greek word. I think it's charis. And so I just want you to absorb this, because it's been given to us as a gift. A dispensation, a little bit different. Not only is it been given us an indwelling gift, but actually we become a part of that gift. How many want to do something for Jesus? Everybody wants to do something for Jesus? How many want to preach for Jesus? How many want to teach for Jesus? Come on. Everybody should be raising their hands. Why? Because that enabling power, that grace, enabling power now to demonstrate who He is, lives within you. It's deposited within your very being, in your suke man, in your anthropos man. It's deposited right there as you've asked the Lord Jesus in your heart and you let His Spirit come inside of you. Let's do the next one. And this one here, we'll get at the very last, but I should have moved it down, but I didn't. But I shouldn't have. It's just where I got it. When the temple was completed in the Old Testament, and I don't want to throw you off track, but you see, we are the temple of God. Do you know that? And when the temple was completed, the completing fixture, the completing substance of that temple, or the time to begin to celebrate and praise the Lord with everything you had, and to call everybody together and have a unified praise and worship, was when He was setting or being in the place of the most holy place. Where God now, listen to this, dwelt with His people. Why did He dwell there? So that He could lead them. They went before them every year. And the reason you would go before the Lord every year was with petitions and things that were going wrong and things that weren't going right and things of guidance. And so you'd go before your Father and you say, what have we got to do here? How are we going to fix this? How's this going to work? And so that was the high priest's job, the order of the high priest. And so then what they did, hallelujah, was they'd go back to the people. And guess what happened? The things that were going wrong quit going wrong. You know what this country needs to do? Needs to get on its knees. You know what Congress needs to do? You know what the president needs to do? You know what this country as a whole needs to do? Get on their knees and ask God what to do. And I guarantee you, there's enough intelligence in this country to hear God and initiate what He said. Next one, honey. And so there was thunderings and lightnings at that celebration and everything. And we'll go through it eventually. Next slide, please. And so we've been through 1, 2, and we're in the third. And I might go back with this. You just have to see if you don't get bored with me. But so we dealt with the individual believer as grace going to the individual believer. Secondly, we dealt with the local church, the fellowship of believers. And that now grace, His unmerited favor, not only was to you personally, but now it would begin to go be
out throughout a people as well. His same grace would go out of you. And you become. You see, and not in every, and you see, you can overthink this. In the ways in which you can help. In the gifts in which you have. And collectively. Hey, no one has the whole of God. It's going to take a whole body of people to do that. Now yet, all of God is within you. There are callings in that that God has certified you for. And let me tell you, we need you. We need every moving part. We need the parts that know how to work with their hands. I'll tell you what, today, if people don't know how to work with their hands, a computer's only going to last so long. Somebody's got to do the work. Somebody's got to put it together. Somebody's got to see the material things come together. Same way in the church. We clean the floors. We paint the building. We do all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. How? Unto the Lord. Why? So that if it rains, you're not going to get wet. Gets too hot, you're going to be cool. But in the midst of it, you see, and you say, well, is that important? Well, go without it for a while and see. See how important it is. Well, I don't need nobody. That's what you think. We all need one another. And we need one another to encourage one another, to help one another, to respect one another, to love one another, and to know that each part, that you're a grace given. Let me tell you, every one of you are a part of my life. There are people that aren't here, and many, hundreds, that are in my life that I never let go of. Communicate with constantly. Why? Because God brought us together. And because there's an adding, there's something that can happen. We can do something for one another. Physical as well as spiritual. Are you with me? Please be with me. I will not take that long. And so we're actually dealing now with the Church Universal, the Bride of Christ. But right now I just want to look at the form of the Church Universal. And if you give me the next slide, please. We went through these. Give me the next one. Give me the next one. Hallelujah. And we begin to really just check on this a little bit. In Ephesians 2 and 21. He's the chief cornerstone. Now, if you looked at that in the Hebrew, and you saw the chief cornerstone, you know, I said I thought it was. Well, I looked at it since then, and it is true. It's not only meant to be a completion of a stone or a capstone. It's also meant to be a building mark. If you ever built construction and built buildings, you have to have a corner in which you shoot your lines off from and you begin to build off from. And that's, hallelujah, also that is in that definition. It takes care of anything. Hallelujah. It doesn't just give you a puffed head, but it's got to be. And so he's the chief cornerstone as Jesus. Hallelujah. His grace. Because it's his grace that he's done that. He's given us a mark to shoot at. He's given us purpose and which to run after. He's given us direction in how we're to live and what we're to do. Aren't you glad? And in the midst of it, it leads on to his perfect will. And we'll see that. Ephesians 1, hallelujah. And let's just go to it real quick. And let's look at that, and then I want to go to the next. After that, I want to go to the next slide. But let's go to Ephesians 1, 6 through 12, or 1, 6, and then 12 through 14. But I'll see. I think I want to read quite a bit of it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Are you excited? I'm excited like crazy, because this is something that. to the praise and the glory of his grace. Once again, that's the word. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You are made acceptable. How? Not through works, lest any man should boast. Right? Well, Danny, what about the, how many of you know that if God is writing it in your hearts, that he ain't going to have to tell you to do it? How many know that? How many know that if I write something in your heart, I don't have to tell you to do it? You will do it because it's in your heart. So it's not an issue of do's and don'ts. Is it? No. It's totally, we've went past that now. We went to the place where now our passions, our mind, will, and emotion now, our passions now are towards this. Okay. Honey, and glory, okay, give me the next verse. And so you're accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches, same word, his grace. Thank God, this unmerited grace, what is it actually doing? It's actually helping us to go and sin no more. When we couldn't before. Pretty cool, huh? Next one, honey. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. See, now you're getting substance in which to take and perform this grace. Next one. Having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to whose good pleasure? Which who purposed? Hallelujah. So what would that say if you turned it around? Would that say that as you are responding to this, that you're actually coming into his will and you're coming into his purpose? Amen. Amen. Having made known the mysteries of his will. Glory to God. Okay, next one. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. I'll never forget when I was teaching a class in Grace Emanuel. Waller just happened to come in. And we just happened to be talking about the sons of God and about the Christ and that. And he had a little drawing, and I kept it for a long time. I still might have it someplace. But one of the things that was very clearly depicted was this. It was God's will that all would be in Christ, even though the first fruits will be the first ones to go in. I'm not going to take you there, but I'll just put a little seed there. But in the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's exactly what happened. Glory to God. Next one, honey. Heaven and earth, you're going to bring everything into it. But not everybody, just those that are in Christ. Okay. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? Glory to God. Do you know that you've been predestined to do this? Yes. All men, all women. How many believe that? I think when we first heard that, we were all blown away. We thought it was just for the elite. We found out that's not so. Glory to God. According to his purpose, of the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of what? Of his own will. Glory to God. This is so good. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So, does that mean I'm always going around praising the Lord? Well, somehow I do, but not everybody does. But I tell you what. I think the closer you get to God, the more you will and the more you do. But just you being present is a praise to me. How do you like to walk around and not see anybody? you know, Gail and I were in Florida, and every day we're walking. See, because I have to have this discipline to walk now, which isn't bad. That could help both of us. You know what happened? I stopped at Walmart. So how are you doing? Sit down alongside somebody. And they're despondent. They're worried. They're afraid. I say, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be worried. Not long. Are you? I don't care who they are. I'm not asking them what they believe. His grace. You touch people. You love people. Glory to God. I guarantee you, you love something, it'll love you back. With whatever it knows for love, it will love you back. You hate people, you are suspicious of people, they'll be suspicious of you. They will hate you. Just a response, just a cause and reaction of things. So you are the praise of God. Hallelujah. And I used to say, who, me? But I'm saying it now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you see, I don't have to have your consent, hallelujah, to praise God. Hallelujah. Just His. And so let God, what you have, let it come out. Hallelujah. You are the neighbor, aren't you? From just across the road? That way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get them coming from every direction. Glory to God. Because this will be I want this to be a hub for this community. Glory to God. And it will be. So, that we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. If we can have another one. In whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? When were you sealed with the Spirit? After you believed. You know, in Acts, they had to tarry. You realize the book of Acts is the Acts of the Epistles. Of the Apostles, you see. I'm not an apostle, but apostles. But I got to tell you something. What does it say right there? You see, up until they received the Holy Spirit, up until it became indwelling, hallelujah, they had to wait and tarry there. But I'm telling you, if you'll believe it and start to walk in it, you'll find out that He has already purchased you. He has a right to come into you. And as soon as you believe it, He comes. You see, I was raised, I wasn't raised Pentecost. I came into Pentecost later in my life because Mom just kept getting closer and closer to the Lord. But I won't say that my upbringing hasn't been very valuable and that it should be minimized or that it's any less. I actually started out in a Mennonite church. One thing about the Mennonites is clean living was number one. There was a lot of discipline, and you needed it with four boys, and Mom needed to know how to do that. But it was clean living, clean living, clean living, clean living. And so, and then I went, then the Mennonites kind of come up to date, and they became the United Missionary, in case you, just for a little history of things. And so we went to the newer church, the bigger church, United Missionary. And eventually we went into the Pentecostal realm and got filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And so we learned to tarry. But you know what? From the time that I gave my heart to the Lord in the Mennonite church, His Spirit began to speak to my heart. And I didn't ask for it. I didn't tarry for it. It just came in because I asked him. Be careful with some of our knowledge to try to say that the Holy Spirit has to come in a certain way when he says, as soon as you believe. We're not going to deal with the word believe. Trust, rely on, obey. Glory to God. Give me another one. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption, to the purchased possession, unto the praise and the glory. His glory. Isn't that something? Glory to God. You're already bought and paid for. Start walking as debt-free. Start walking in life as not a sinner, but as one that's been, sin has been covered and you've been saved, and now you're walking with God. Doesn't mean he ain't going to keep cleaning us up and washing us up and taking things out of us that shouldn't be in us. But I'm going to tell you something. It's covered with his blood. See, that's the atonement. See, there was a day of atonement at the feast. One whole day. Something to look at. It's got to do with the feast of God. And which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise and the glory of God. Now, who did he purchase? Us. Well, we were yet sinners. Sometimes, we are still yet sinners. He purchases us. So as we believe it and we walk out of our sin and we walk into the word of the Lord and into Christ, hallelujah, he's possessing more and more and more. How many of you can believe that? And so as he's doing that, what's he doing? He's writing upon our hearts. You don't need a law of commandments before your face. Like they used to, we won't front. Let's see, you can check out some of this Old Testament stuff because I love it all. And it is a type and a shadow. But now, it's here in our hearts. Love your brother. Don't steal. Don't kill. Hallelujah. Forgive. That's a big one. You know, he says forgive because you've been forgiven. Next one. So you're a praise, hallelujah, to his glory. Therefore, I also, after that I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. This is so good. Let's keep going. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now you think it was praying for you. Oh, Lord, help them sinners. Oh, Lord, help them to forgive. Oh, Lord, all this other stuff. Is that what he was saying there? How do you pray? Do you pray? Do you pray in thanksgiving? Because that's what he was praying for. Because actually, out of this church came the seven churches in the book of Revelation. They all stemmed out of Ephesus. Okay, let's do another one. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Let's do another one. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where? Hallelujah. I think I'm only going to just do this one chapter, but can you just give me a second on this? Who's calling? And to who? Who's the inheritor? We are. You can know that. See, so we just need to believe it enough to receive it. In whatever dimension you got. You know, when I first started working with tools was when I was a young guy, and I had my stepdad was a tyrant, but he taught me a lot. I thought he was. You probably thought your dad was. But he had a machine shop in our place. We had a tool shop that was a machine shop. He was a millwright and professional welder, and so he didn't tolerate us just going and getting and looking through all the wrenches to get the right size. Pretty ridiculous, huh? Come on, you say, yeah, I did at the time. He demanded that we knew what size it was by looking at it. Because he didn't want you there half an hour looking for a wrench. It's right there. Now, at first, it was tough. And at first, when God begins to work with us, it's tough. But if we'll stick with the rigidness of His righteousness, pretty soon, you know, we got to where, hey, I could go into any toolbox and give you any size wrench and never look at the size. Still probably can in some of the... It's been 50 years since I've had to work with wrenches very much. But praise the Lord. But that's just a type. That's a type in shadow, beloved. This is what God does for you. You become familiar. At first, it's overwhelming. At first, you can't do it. Glory to God. But if you relax and just keep working at it, you'll find out that what He writes in you will become descriptive to where your eyes, your brain, hey, your intelligence all begins to work towards the same thing. And when that happens and you recognize it, now when you get that intelligence and you get the basis of that, then the next thing, He will begin to move it into areas and other areas, and you'll begin to see that it can work in a lot of other ways. Glory to God, that it never worked before, and where you once struggled and had trouble, hallelujah, you no longer will struggle or have trouble. Your faith will increase, glory to God, and you'll be more proficient at what you do, but you have to be willing to start. You have to be willing to let Him work in you where you are, and know that you have all of His favor, and that He's not going to discipline you because you haven't completed it yet, but you're working towards that end, and you'll see that His completion will come to you in a way that no one will ever be able to take it away from you. Never. Because now you're sole possession. You're a sole possessor. It's yours. That's my desire as a pastor. That's my desire as a teacher and a preacher. Hallelujah. Is to see to it that you know who you are in Christ, and that you're important, and that what God's called you to and the callings of God that's in you, hallelujah, is now brought and manifested out and through you. Hallelujah. So don't be disappointed. Your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that He may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance inside of you, inside the saints. Another one, hon. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above, now listen to this. Far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The power of a name. Do you know why they want to erase Jesus out of this? You know why they don't care if you just say God? Because there's no other name in heaven, in earth, or under the earth where man can be saved. No other name. And He's linked us, the saints of God, with His name Jesus, and it's called the Christ, the Anointed. That's not a weird thing. You know, when you touch someone, when you do something, you know, like If I touch you, do you know it's me after I've touched you a couple times? Do you have to even look? But how do I know who it is? Is it just a puff of wind or what? No. Oh, no. Because we can get right down and cry together, or laugh together. This is the power that God has given us to live. And then to express who He is through one another, and to see that we must be dependent one on another, and in the midst of being dependent one on another, hallelujah, all these kind of glorious things happen. Hallelujah. So, and I got to tell you this one last thing. Far above all principalities, powers, dominions, let me tell you something. There's nothing that will come against you that His name isn't over top of. Nothing. And so as we call on the name of Jesus, hallelujah, every prince and power of the air has to obey. Has to bow down to that name of Jesus. And so that's something else we're learning how to believe, because it's being challenged as different things happen to us that aren't from Him, that aren't His. Don't belong on us. So we have to say, get out of here. Hallelujah. Go ahead, honey. Is this the end? Is this the last verse? How many more verses? Just a couple. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. That's us. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. That's the last verse, isn't it? Hallelujah, I thought it was. Which is the Christ. Hallelujah. And so we'll get that. It's a little hard one to digest at first. But it only is until we relax enough to know that and see how He's working. He wants to work and will work always through men and women, boys and girls, in the earth. And He has designed it in the heavens as well. All principalities, all powers, all dominions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not gonna. That's the introduction of what we're gonna be showing, that the universal church. I can't wait till every language, every nation. I can't wait till we can stop all this infighting and this doctrinal divination and start to realize that we must come into a place where every part is respected, function, and works as out of the head, out of Jesus, out of the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within the believer. And have the patience enough to realize that He brings deficiency to one part, and the other part has the ability to bring life to it. Oh, yeah. Here's an engineer he knows. He's over engineers. And old fleet engineers. Hallelujah. Bring life. Hallelujah. In us. Glory to God. So I love you. Is there anyone that needs prayer? Glory to God. This is going on. This is not the conclusion. This is going on. Hallelujah. And they have this up. We are having a church picnic at Indian Springs. It's right off of White Lake Road up here, just on the other side of Ormond, a little bit east of Ormond. I know you have it up. And please, we want to welcome you to come. Feel free. It's going to start about 1 o'clock. Good. Because we have some parades and stuff to go to. But we still want to get together as a church. And so bring just whatever, huh? Just bring a dish or whatever, and we'll just mix them all together. I love that the best anyway. The church is Okay.
And which pavilion do we have?
We have the North Pavilion. It's the one that we always have. It's the one. It's the one by the, you know where the sprinklers are in that in there? You'll see the little water sprinklers for the kids. Well, just up on the hill. It's the north one. And so we welcome you to come. Have some good fellowship together. And we'll probably play horseshoes and we'll just do whatever. Ride bikes and do whatever anybody wants to do. And bring a friend. We have more than enough. And those that aren't here are probably, there's going to be more at the picnic than there is here right now. Praise the Lord, because there's quite a few that's gone right now. But we're going to make sure that they know. Well, if there's no one that needs prayer, let's stand.